The Lord is wanting to do something. I really believe that in my heart. I feel like He's wanting to do something. We've come around to a certain place of life where God is wanting to do something. And He'll do it for us. He'll do it with us if we'll give Him a chance. But we've got to give Him a chance. In the book of Kings, I want to read something here. We've read this a number of times, but I want to read it if you've got your Bibles. You know, we should come to church with a great expectation. There should be a great expectation. I remember Brother Oral Roberts made a statement one time that I really believe was true. He said, to get a miracle, you've got to expect a miracle. And I really believe that. I believe that if you're going to get anything from God, you've got to expect it from God. They say, well, what do you base that on? Well, the Bible said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That is, that there is a God. And you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek God. In other words, you've got to believe that God is a rewarder of them that give a little time to God. If you come to God, you've got to have the opinion, now, Lord, if I pray, you're going to do something for me. Not because God has to do it, but because God wants to do it. Now, if you have that opinion, you know, the Bible said, when you pray, believe. You come to God and you pray, you say, Lord, I want you to do something for me. And then you say, glory to God, I know you're going to do it, Jesus, because you want to. Isn't that something? Have you ever just stopped, you know, and kind of had a little talk with yourself? How do you believe that you ought to talk to yourself some? Somebody said, well, you folks think you're crazy. Go around talking to yourself. The Bible said speaking to yourself. Didn't you know what it's saying? Psalms and songs and all kind of things. You ever just had a little talk with yourself just to find out how you think, you know, and how you tick, as the world says? Just ask yourself the question. Say, Lord, how do I feel? Do I really have a confidence and a feeling and an expectation that God is going to do something for me? Or have I got a feeling of wrath from God and feel like I haven't lived good enough and I'm not good enough and God is going to bless me because I've not served Him enough? Now, if you have that kind of feeling, you need to pray more. You need to serve Him more. You need to pray till you get that kind of feeling out of the way and get an expectation for other kind of things. Because if you ain't prayed no more than that and you got that kind of expectation, you're in for trouble. Isn't that right? Now, so then, I believe that we ought to pray and expect something from God. Isn't that right? I want to read just a little bit to you here from the book of 1 Kings. If you got your Bibles, you can read with me. 41st verse, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again, seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. All right, now, you know what happened after that he got over to the cave. But I want to take just a minute or two, if I can, and point out something. The Lord had given Elijah a great miracle. Now, I want you to notice one or two things. First of all, Elijah, before he ever prayed one word to God as far as going up on Mount Carmel. I've been up on that place. But before he ever prayed a word, he said, go over and tell them people that we're fixing to have a shower. He had never yet asked God for the rain. He had not said anything about rain, nor had God said anything about rain, so far as we know. But he said, go over and tell them we're fixing to have rain. Now, there hadn't been no rain for many years, number of years. But Elijah, now I want you to see that. See, now he went over there and he said, tell them that God is fixing to give us some rain. About 3.5 years or something. No rain. The ground parched. Everything dying. The cattle dying. But that man of God, that didn't move him a bit. When he saw that parched ground, it didn't move him a bit. 3.5 years, been no water on the surface of the earth. It didn't bother him a bit. He said, go tell Ahab he better get going. If he's going to make the crossing, he better get on over the river because she's fixing to rise. Now, I tell you, that's something, isn't it? I don't know what that does to you, but that does something to me. A human being just like me, like Brother Taylor, walks out after 3.5 years of drought, no water, no nothing, and just plainly makes a statement, said, tell Ahab you better get them horses going and get over the river because I can hear abundance of rain, said it's coming. Then after he made his declaration, he went up on the mountain and he began to pray. And he said, Lord, send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain. 7 times he sent his servant out, but wasn't no cloud. 6 times he went out there, he didn't see a cloud, didn't see nothing. And here Elijah is, he's on the spot. Because he's already told him it's going to rain. And 6 times he sent, and still not even a cloud in sight. Now remember, the man of God said it's going to rain, and he's praying. But not a cloud in sight. But he didn't stop. He sent it them 7 times. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, it had to be 7 times. I believe that he'd have sent that servant over there if he had to send him 700 times. That's what I believe. On the 7th time, he saw a cloud. But I believe that he would have sent that servant over there if he had to send him 700 times, because he told Jezebel and told Ahab, he said, it's going to rain. And Elijah believed that it was going to rain, and he meant to stay there on his knees until he seen some sign of it. Isn't that right? And so then he prayed and he said, God, let it rain. And on the 7th time, that little servant went over there and said, Elijah, I see just a little bitty cloud. It ain't no bigger than a man's hand. Elijah said, that's proof of it right there. He said, I heard my prayer. And the Bible said, in a little while the heavens were just as black as they could be, and the wind just swirling around. And all of a sudden, thunderstorms, just water just pouring out of heaven. Now, why don't we have that kind of faith today? He was a man just like I'm a man. He was a man just like you a man. And the Bible said that he was of like passion just like you and I. Why can't we do the same thing today? We can do the same thing today. We're sons of God. We can do the same thing today. Now you say, Brother Pike, have you ever prayed it rain? Yes, more than one time. We can pray and talk to God, and God will hear us. We can pray for the sick, and God will hear us. We can pray for rain, and God will hear us.
We can pray for prosperity and God will hear us. David said, I beseech thee, O Lord, send prosperity. We can pray for prosperity. It's always been that a man of God can get in touch with God. But it's like I said a little earlier before we got into the message. We need to learn to respect the Word of God. We need to learn who's got the Word of God and learn to respect the Word of God. If we learn to respect the Word of God, then we will become expectant of the things of God. And if you become expectant of the things of God, then God's going to do something for you. The people of little Bethlehem, you've seen a revelation that has laid things out step by step by step by step until you ought to have enough faith to do anything. It's like Brother Atlee told me today. He said, Brother Pike, since the camp meeting, he said, I marvel or I'm amazed at how fast judgment is striking. And he remembered what we had said about the camp meeting and the change and how that it was going to strike. See, the Word of the Lord comes to us in this day just like it did in that day. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. But it's true. It's true. Would you spend your time coming to church and spend your time praying and spend your time working on a job and giving thousands of dollars to a cause and not believe that God would speak? I wouldn't. I wouldn't. If a preacher tells you that God's going to speak, then I believe that God ought to speak, or he ain't no preacher. If Elijah told him it was going to rain, then it should rain. Is that right? Why? Because Elijah's supposed to know what he's talking about. He's not supposed to be guessing, even if it has been 3.5 years since it rained. If Elijah's a preacher, and Elijah comes around and says, Thus saith the Lord, I've been a-praying, and God said it's going to rain, then it ought to rain. Why not? If I represent God and I tell you something's going to happen, and if it don't happen, then how can I be a representative of God? Because that's what a man of God is. He is a representative of the God of heaven. And if he says something, it must come to pass. Because he has the Word of the Lord in his heart. Now, I'm thankful because God has placed his Word in my life. He has placed the Word of the Lord in my heart. And I try my very best to tell things just exactly the way the Lord tells it to me. I try not to add to it nor take away from it. Because God doesn't want you to add to His Word. He doesn't want you to take away from His Word. But He wants you to tell it just exactly like it is. I told some things just recently that brought a few heartaches. But I couldn't help it. I told it just exactly like it was. I said, the Lord said to me that he would do such and such, and he did it. I said, and then he said to me that such and such is going to happen, and it happened. So then the Word of the Lord, it has to be the way of the Word of the Lord. And that's what I love about Elijah's ministry. It was the Word of the Lord. When Elijah said it, he had a purpose behind it. For 3.5 years they needed rain. But he wasn't a show-off. He didn't come through and say, I'm the man of God, and I know it's dry, but I'll pray and God will do something about it. He didn't do that. 3.5 years, cattle died. The vegetation died. People died. But Elijah still didn't get to be a show-off. He still didn't come through Israel, you know, and say, Thus saith the Lord, I can get in touch with God. I hear preachers that say they're prophets. And different ones come around, and they're always talking about what they can do, what they can do, what they can do. But consequently, they never do it. Elijah didn't do that. But Elijah came through, and it was dry. He knew it was dry. He didn't do nothing about it. A year passed by, he didn't do nothing about it. 2 years passed by, he didn't do nothing about it. 3 years passed by, he didn't do nothing about it. But one day the Word of the Lord came. And God's Word said, Elijah, Go show yourself to Jezebel and Ahab. Think about that now. Go show yourself to them. Why? Because he said it's going to rain. It's going to rain. 3.5 years. There's no water. But go tell Ahab, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to send rain upon the earth. And off Elijah went. Hallelujah. He didn't question it, Brother James. He didn't ask God if when it was going to be or what was going to happen. God told him to do something and he went over there. And he sent that little servant and he said, you better tell them to get ready to go because she's coming. Said there's going to be a rain and said it's going to pour. It's going to pour. Why did he say that? Because God's word said rain's coming upon the earth. I believe that's the way it ought to be in our hearts and lives. I believe tonight some of you people are not spiritual. You don't expect anything. You don't have any vision. You don't have any endurance. You don't have any perseverance. You don't have any drive or anything toward Christ. You just sit there. You come to church. You don't have any get up and go. Don't have any expectation of anything. But God is wanting to do something. And it's up to you to wake up. Some of you are hard and fast asleep. And you're going to die if you don't wake up. There's been a drought in the land. The powers and spirit of God has been held back to a great extent because of your iniquity. And it's not increasing. Because the more your iniquities increase, the less God's spirit will be among you. Because in the day that we're living in, you know a lot and you're doing a little. You know a lot about God, but you're more interested in homes and cars and finance and cuddling together as human beings than you are in making a sacrifice and an effort to God. You're more interested in laying under an air conditioner and having the coverage of the flesh than you are sitting in church long enough to hear something about God. You sit in church and you sit there a lot of time and you don't have any interest in it. Your spirit's not in it. You don't have any drive about you whatsoever. The preacher's just preaching to you and that's all, and you're waiting for him to get through so you can go home. But I'm glad it's not that way in my heart. Hallelujah. It makes no difference to me to where you hear it or whether you don't hear it, whether you enjoy it or don't enjoy it, whether you drive in or press in or get your spirit into it or not. It's still God's Word. Hallelujah. And I'll declare it here in Little Bethlehem. I'll just declare it in Illinois, or wherever God sends me, it's still God's Word. That's what makes me rejoice, is because it's in my heart. And whether people receive it or don't receive it, it doesn't move me because there's something on the inside of me that's churning and turning over. Hallelujah. There's something that's speaking from heaven. I've made a contact with God. There's something on the other end that answers back. And that makes me happy. That makes me filled up and overflowing and alive. And though I come in here and some of you are just as dead as you can be. Some of you haven't prayed in days. Some of you haven't talked to God in days. Some of you don't even know what it is to fast and ring the prayer bells of heaven. That's right. You're spiritually dried up. But I got some news for you. It's going to rain. Hallelujah! It's going to rain! God said it would rain. There's going to be a new harvest. There's going to be a new crop. There's going to be a new move of God in the land. Because God said it. Amen. There's something coming. God's got something for His people. And something's coming down from yonder's world. Hallelujah. Some of you are not going to be partakers of it because you're not spiritual. Some of you are not interested. Some of you have no drive, no perseverance. You won't have any part in it. But there's some that's going to drive in and some going to pray and some going to get into this and be part of it. But Jezebel and Ahab ain't going to get to enjoy it. Amen. The lipstick and the pattern, the paint and the form fitting clothing and all the gossip and the backbiting and all the fine homes and cars and all the other things won't get in on the smooth. It's going to be a move for God. It's going to be somebody that's interested in God. Somebody that's willing to give their lives to Christ. To be partakers. It won't be somebody that's sat in church half asleep and half not caring and half caring. Somebody that just comes to church out of routine. They come here and they just sit there like a knot on a log, as somebody said. They don't have any interest, any understanding. Half asleep and their belly's been made their god and eat so much. So when they come to church, you don't have any life about them. I'm talking about God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Elijah. I'm talking about the rain that Christ said he'd send. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said it don't stir us. I don't worry about that. It stirs me. That takes care of it. As long as I'm stirred, if you go to hell, that's your business. But if I'm stirred, I'm satisfied. And I'm stirred about it. Hallelujah. All right. Now look at Elijah. There's something peculiar here. Elijah, go show yourself and tell them that I'm going to give some rain on the earth. And so he did. But notice this. After the victory that God had given, after that the rain had come down from heaven like a flood, after the rivers had literally overflowed their banks, Jezebel, she sends out a threat. I'll kill him. And Elijah momentarily loses his faith. Now you say, what do you mean loses his faith? Well, he listened to what Jezebel had to say about it. Got over there under a juniper tree and said, all right, Lord, if it's time to die, here I am. Can you imagine that? A man that just stood and shook heaven and earth. And now he sits down under a juniper tree and begins to pity himself. You say, Brother Pike, was he really doing that? Elijah was literally pitying himself. He was like Jonah. There he is. He sits down under a juniper tree, sitting there pitying himself. And he said, Lord, all the rest of them dead. She done killed all the rest of them. What difference does it make? Just let her come on and get it over. You know, the Lord could have jerked him up by the heel, so to speak, give him a good spiritual spanking and said, you get up from there and get straightened out. But he didn't do that, did he? Did he do that? No, he knew that Elijah was weary. He knew that the man part of Elijah was showing up. That's why God is so merciful to the church. When you come here like you come here tonight, God will destroy every one of you. You should have a burning fire and a burning zeal every time you come through the door. You should never enter these courts without having a zeal for God. It should burn in you like a fire. But see, God knows that human part, and God, the Bible said, he looks down from heaven and he pities you as a father would his little children. Is that right? Now, here he sits on the juniper tree, self-pity, just sitting there saying, well, it's time to die. Just had the greatest victory any preacher ever had. Just shook the heavens until the water fell right out of the sky. But now the human part of him is showing up. And here he sits, waiting to die. You know, that has always been the case, all down through history. There is a God side of man and there's a human side of man. And all down through the history of mankind, it showed up. Even from Adam in the garden. Adam stood bravely in the face of opposition and said, no, we're not going to eat of the forbidden fruit. That was God. But then in the weakness of his own body through Eve, he turned and ate. Peter walked on the water and stood like a priestly king. Walked on the water and couldn't sink. Christ showing up within him. But then all of a sudden, pure Peter goes down underneath the water. What was the matter with him? The man side showing up. See, God let that happen. God has always allowed that to happen for an example unto you and me. God let that happen to let you know that those men were human beings just like we're human beings. I know you don't understand what I'm saying tonight. In other words, God, he didn't have to let Peter sink beneath that water now, did he? He didn't have to let Elijah get weary, a man of God like that. But God knew someday a little babe named Jesus was going to be born into the world. Now, and I was going to be that little babe. You was going to be that little babe. And we were going to be the members of that body. Is that right? And God wanted that little babe to grow strong and big and tall. Not as one individual, but as a great body of Christ in the earth. And so then God so wonderfully prepared through preparation from day to day an outline by which he might walk, that through which he might listen, that which he might study and see. Great and mighty power in the lives of great men that have given their lives continually to fasting and prayer. But then God allowed them to slip, allowed them to fall. King David, a great and a mighty man that could run through a troop, leap over a wall, the weakness of a woman, and there he was, caught within the trap. He could have resisted 10,000 women. He had a heart so after God he wouldn't have never noticed. That woman would have looked like a dead dog laying over there. But God prepared that and allowed that to let this body that was to come know that they were men of like passion, the same as you and I, knowing that many people of this day was going to fall by the wayside, stumble, and stagger. But God was going to give grace until he could perfect a body, and that he didn't want them to get discouraged. Like Paul said concerning his ministry, he said that God did this in my ministry. He said that it might show forth the long suffering of Jesus Christ. He said, I blasphemed. He said, I persecuted the people of God. I threw them in prison. All kinds of things happened to them. He said, and I was responsible for it. But he said, God did this that we might have an example. Paul said, to show forth the long suffering of Christ in me. Isn't that wonderful? I, he said, who was chief of sinners, that God would be long suffering with me. And show the long suffering of God, being into prison, being beat, being stoned. And yet God lifted him up, a blasphemer that killed and murdered. Look at Moses, the man that stood and murdered somebody. David that committed murder. Samson that killed 1,000 men. God wanted us to see something. He said, all of this happened for your admonition. You're the upon whom the ends of the world have come. See, God wanted to do something. What was it? God loves his people. God is a great lover. He's a great compassionate lover. And God loves his people. And God doesn't want to see anything happen to his people. And so then he prepared all of that many hundreds of years before, knowing the trials and the heartaches and the persecutions and the troubles that was going to come on the church in the latter times, and knowing what they'd have to go through with and the disgrace that would be out there in the front of them. But God wanted them to know that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. He wanted them to know his strength and his power, that you could fall down as Peter, be sinking in the water, not have any faith at all, so to speak. One minute your human side be showing up, and the next minute by the act of faith be a master and walk on the water. If you stumble and trip, if something's wrong back there in the past, don't go back and practice it. Don't go back to the hog pens of the world, but shake it off and go forward and say, I thank you, God, for the victory. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Say, Lord, I thank you for the victory. Glory to God, yesterday don't have nothing to do with today. I've got the mercies of God today. And God, I can do the job for you today. Hallelujah. And we can too. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel like David, he said, I run through a troop and leap over a wall. I believe we can do the job for God. How do you believe we can do the job for God? If we raise our hearts and our hands and our standards, brother, we can do anything for Christ Jesus. And so then, Here Elijah, he sits down under a juniper tree. Sitting down under a juniper tree and just bathing himself and pitting himself. You know, none of the brothers don't care nothing about me. Where have I heard that before? Like Don and Earl sings, you know, said today, the preacher didn't shake my hand when I left. Come on, folks, wake up. I'm talking about living now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So then, Elijah said, all right, just go ahead, Lord. Ain't that something? I'm afraid of Jezebel. Go ahead, Lord. She's on my trail. She's on my trail. God, he didn't jerk him up. He didn't do nothing to him. He just went over there and let him go off in a deep sleep. He knew he was weary, you know. And after a while, he went off in a deep sleep. You know, when a fellow gets tired, he gets weary, he's liable to do anything. Isn't that right? Now that man part was showing up. See, he'd done been God's hero. He'd done been God's Superman and God's Samson. He'd done stood out there like a man, and he declared by faith what was going to happen. And it came to pass just exactly the way he said it was. And I done got tired and weary and sleepy. And all his super strength and all of his super ambition, you know, has gone away in his sleep. He wants to go to sleep. Is that right? So he said, let it come on. Let's get it over with. The Lord just as if to say, just go to sleep, son. Lay down and rest a little bit. And old Elijah lay down and rest. He slept a little bit. And after a while, something shook him like that. And he was so sleepy, he must not know what was going on. He was so sleepy. He woke up, and that angel said, boy, you better eat a little bit. So he ate and he drank. Never even got excited, didn't sound like it. He was so sleepy, he just probably just glupped it down, drank it, and went back off sleep. Lord let him sleep a little more. He got a hold of him again. The angel shook him again and said, Elijah. I said, boy, you better get up here and eat something. You got a long journey. So old Elijah, he woke up again. He got him something else to eat, got him something else to drink. He probably didn't know too much about what was going on then, but just about 30 days later, he did. Hallelujah! About 30 days later, he knew what that angel was talking about when he hadn't put no biscuits in the basket. He knew something was going on then. Amen. He kept walking and traveling. Wasn't no stores nearby and no filling stations and no houses and no mamas making biscuits. He journeyed on over to the cave. He got over there, and by the time he got over there, he was in good shape to listen then. Hallelujah. You know, when he laid down on that juniper tree, he must have been in pretty good shape. He'd been eating pretty good over by the brook, you know. And the Lord had been taking good care of him. But after about 40 days without anything under the belt line, he was in good shape to know what the Spirit was saying then. That's what we need to do. We need to walk right out of this natural world and this natural man right into the spiritual presence of God. Get away from this old natural man. Hallelujah. Glory to God, Brother Fontaine, if we can just transformate into the mind of Jesus, move right out of this natural world and the spiritual world, go on a journey with God. I'll tell you right now, if we'll do that, our lives will change. Hallelujah. Get away from the bread basket a little bit. God will do something for you. Hallelujah. And so then, there was Elijah. Just think about that now. He was over there talking about dying when God didn't have no plans for him to die. Isn't that right? See, here he was thinking about something that wasn't even recorded in the book. God didn't intend for him to die. Because in God's word, it was no plans for Elijah to die. How do you know that God don't want us to die tonight? There's no plans in God's book for us to die. God wants us to live. Get rid of cancer. Get rid of sickness. Get rid of sorrow. Hallelujah. Get rid of poverty. Face your adversary, the devil that goeth about like a roaring lion. Stand steadfast in the faith. Look at him in faith and say, Satan, thus it is written. And don't give a peg. Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. I feel God, Al. Glory to God. Stand steadfast in the faith. Faith by what? Faith by the hearing of the word of the living God. Hallelujah. You've got a promise. You say, I've got problems. You don't supposed to have any problems. You say, but I got problems. But why have you got problems? Because of unbelief. Come on now. You say, I've got sickness. Why have you got sickness? Because of unbelief. Hallelujah. You've got to believe in God. You've got a promise. We're not supposed to be thinking about problems. That's our trouble now. We make our mind a garbage can. We let the devil come by and all of his workers come by. And they talk to us and say things and cast our face down. Like a man told me the other day, he went to visit with a brother. He said, my, I wish I never went to visit with him. Ain't that a testimony for visiting with a brother? When you visit with a brother, you should come out saying, praise God, man, I tell you, he really lifted me up. That fellow said, whew. So I wish I'd have never visited with him. Now, why do you want to talk on your problems? Why do you do that? See, why do you want to backbite and gossip and tear down? Why do you want to think on your problems? The Bible said, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't do that. What should we think on? The word of God. Get your mind off of your belly. Get your mind off of your wife. Get your mind off of the houses and lands. Off of your husband. Get rid of that old devilish mind you got. And come to the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Stand up like a man and like a woman. Glory to God. You can do it. You can do it. Like Cindy said here not too long ago, my Cynthia. I believe I related this year in the church. She said she was having a problem, said she couldn't conquer the problem. And she kept praying, and after a while she saw her mother in a vision. And she saw her mother conquer this problem. And said, when she looked at the problem, said she was afraid. But said something, said, do it the same way your mother did it. So she said that she did it the same way that her mother did it, and said she conquered the problem. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth. I'm not just talking to you tonight. I'm telling you the truth. We are not supposed to be filled up with problems. You're not supposed to be filled up with sicknesses. You say, I got cancer and I got TB and I got heart trouble and I got woes and I got kidney troubles and I got pains and I got aches and I got this and I got that. But have you got Jesus? By the time you get through talking about all the things you got, there ain't no place for Jesus. What is Jesus? The Word? If you got all kind of thoughts like that in your mind, where are you going to put Jesus? God ain't going to live in the midst of a garbage can. Is that right? Dogs will break into a garbage can, but not God. Hallelujah. We're not feeding out of a garbage can. The Bible said you can't feed from the table of devils and from the table of God too. Come on, folks. Let's be soldiers. Let's be strong. Let's be healthy in God. Let's stand up. You understand what I'm saying? Give me just a minute or two more. Now, you know when you're boxing, they ring a bell. You can step back for a few minutes, you know, and relax. You get a running start. We must have knocked the devil down that time. Hallelujah. Have you loved Jesus? Hallelujah. I tell you what, I believe it with all my heart. And I'm telling you from the bottom of my soul, I've been confronted with just about everything a person can be confronted with. That's the truth for over 20 years. I've been confronted with just about every kind of problem that you could bring about. But I sought Jesus, and I looked for Jesus, and I stood for Jesus. And I said, I believe it, Jesus. Lord, I believe it. Now, that's what we're supposed to do. See, we're supposed to stand for God. Sarah said, Abraham, I don't know. Abraham said, Sarah, don't you even think like that. God said it. A year or two would go by, and Sarah said, but Abraham, when? Said, you forget about that. Just get it off your mind. God said it. That's the way it'll be. You understand what I'm saying? She said, Abraham, too many years done passed by. We got to make some other plans. Is that right? Abraham was grieved because he believed God. God said, go ahead and listen to that, Abraham. Go on and do whatever she tells you to do. But Abraham said, but I believe you, Jesus.
So that's all right. Said it'll work just like I told you. But see, Abraham believed God. It don't make any difference. Does it make any difference? Does it? We should believe God. What's time got to do with it anyway? Shouldn't we believe God? How do you believe we ought to believe God? See, I believe we ought to believe God. That's in my heart. It don't make no difference if it's 1 day, 2 days, 10 days, 5 years, 20 years. If God said it, I believe we ought to believe God. You say, Brother Pike, you get a radical. I still believe we ought to believe God. I believe God. If God said it, I believe it's going to happen. As sure as you're living, it's going to happen. God said, Elijah, I'm going to send some water. And it wasn't but a little while before that thirsty ground had water. If God said He'll heal your body, He'll heal your body. And the thing for you to do is to shake yourself, get out of that old slothfulness, get out of that old half-hearted kind of thing, and say, God, I'm healed! You really believe that? Somebody said, Lord, I'm healed. That ain't the way. You stand up and say, God, I'm healed. Because the Bible said it. You don't doubt it. You don't wonder about it. Somebody said, but I got a pain in my head. That ain't got nothing to do with it. I got a pain in my hip. That ain't got nothing to do with it. I've had them in my feet and my head and my hips and my heart and everywhere else. What's that got to do with it? What's pain got to do with what God said about it? Somebody said, but the doctor said. But what the doctor saying got to do with what God said? What the doctor said don't have nothing to do with what God said. What God said about it is right. He said, well, I believe what the doctor said. Well, you better start believing what God said. All right, now, I believe what God said about it. Now, I know the human side of us shows up, but God gave us a pattern. He wanted to build a super race for God. Even Hitler perceived that. God wants to build a super race. Now, we can be a super race. We are a super race. Is that right? Now, we can be a super race, and we should be a super race. But not the way Hitler tried to build a super race. We are a super race. We are God's superhumans. I know that there is a man side of us. I know that. There's a man side, but what's that man side got to do with the God side? Jesus died that the man side might be buried. That the power of opposition might be taken away. See, so what do we want to mess with that old dead side for? You know, somebody come around and said, Brother, you know, sister, I, you know, see. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody say, Brother, did you hear about all this? You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, that's dead and stinking. Catch your nose, spiritually speaking, and get on out of there. When somebody comes, they pick up a telephone, say, sister, snow is out. Say, amen. Amen. Now, see, God don't want that. You say, but I know that old sister so-and-so is just exactly what she said she was. It wouldn't make no difference if she's a backsliding heifer like the Bible calls her. You ain't got no business spending your thoughts on a backsliding heifer. You ought to think about a milk cow you can get milk from or something. Amen. Leave the backslidden heifer alone. Isn't that right? Don't worry about things like that. Hallelujah. Don't let your mind be a garbage can. Let your heart be clean and holy and pure and upright. And God will fill you with the strength of Christ. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm strong and I'm healthy. I don't make believe about it. I've been down the dark corridors. I know which way they lead. I've been down the alleys where the pains and the hurts was. I know where they lead. But folks, you can be healthy. You can be strong. You don't have to be half alive. You don't have to be a half believer and a make believer and make believe you're something when you ain't something and make believe that you're healed when you ain't healed. You don't have to do that. But you can soberly, confidently, godly stand up
and say, I am a child of God in the face of all opposition, in the face of all sin. Stand up and say, I'm healed. I'm healed and I'm whole and I'm healthy. And I'm going to testify of a God. And I'm going to do something for Jesus. How do you believe that? Glory to God, you can do it. But I'm going to tell you something. As long as we moan and groan and half-heartedly drag around and act like we're half dead and gossip and look for somebody to help us believe we're half dead, we're going to be in a bad fix. As long as we pine and go around looking for somebody to baby us, you know, there's people in this world that want to be babied. They want to be babied. They'd rather have pain and go around saying, I feel so bad, and have the husband to have pity on them, you know, and everybody to pity them. Go around with the pain rather than to be healed and confess the truth. Is that right? They get in such a state and condition until they'd rather do that. Folks, I don't want you going around saying, poor old Brother Pike. Poor old Brother Pike. And me in pain and me in suffering. I don't want that. You can give your pity to somebody else. I don't want to be in pain. I'm not interested in pity. I'd rather say, glory to God, Brother Pike believes in God. Let's pray and believe God. And let's stand up together like a man and believe God. And let's be healthy. And let's be whole. Glory to God. And when we got a power of opposition, let's join hands, join ranks, and go out there and meet it. And when something happens to one of our brothers and sisters, don't get off in a back alley somewhere. Yeah, I told you it's going to happen because you know he done such and such. You done. Don't do that. It don't make no difference what they've done. If they're in suffering and they're in pain, the Bible said be like-minded. If one weep, you weep with them. Is that right? Hallelujah. If one rejoice, you rejoice with them. Is that right? Well, rejoice with me. I'm rejoicing. Hallelujah. This is real. Glory to God. All right, so I'm strong and I'm healthy. Alive! Wanting and ready to do something for God. Now, there's a whole lot to do, too. A whole lot to do. Now, you can die before your time. You can drag around, you know, and do any old way. You can do like Elijah, and I'm going to close. You can do like Elijah. Let's give you a little pep talk tonight. You can do like Elijah. You can sit down under the juniper tree. Right when the greatest event of your life is about to take place. The greatest thing that ever happened to Elijah in all of his ministry was about to transpire. And here he sits under a juniper tree like a melancholy baby. And God fixing to translate him and take him into the other world. And that's something. Old Elijah said, I'm so tired. God didn't upbraid him. God didn't bother him. But the Lord more or less looked down like this, saying, well, Elijah, you fought a good fight. You finished your course. I know you're tired. I won't ask you to do nothing else. He said, just go over here to the cave with me and let me get you all lined up and get everything lined up for the rain. And said, after I tell you these few little things, said, then I'll let you go into glory. I'll let you go into glory. Is that right? I'll take you over yonder where Jezebel can't find you. Is that right? A great and a mighty prophet of God. But the man side of him showing up. The weakness of him showing up. Like Sister Branham said to Brother Branham one time, he got real melancholy. And he's just all cast down. And he just felt like he was going to die and everything. And Sister Branham said, Billy said, tell me something. Said, if you're in all this kind of condition, said, what in the world is going to happen to all them things you said God was going to do with you and for you? And he shook him up. You told me about all these things that God's going to do, you know. Shook him up. He got up. He got that man's side off of him. And he stood up and he become God's prophet again. Don't you love Jesus? You know what I like about the day we're living in? That we're sons of God 24 hours a day. Hallelujah. It don't make no difference how you think about it or what you think about it. We're sons of God 24 hours a day. When you're melancholy and cast down and feel like you've got pains and aches and grumps and gripes and everything else, you're still a son of God. When you feel like you're going to die and going to put you in a casket, you're still a son of God. When you wake up in the morning and feel like you could wrestle a lion, you're still a son of God. Isn't that wonderful? Every day of the week, 24 hours a day, sons of God. All right, so David said, I'll just stir up myself in the Lord. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? God's building a great people. He wants us to have a great expectation, not an expectation of Jezebel killing us, but an expectation of a victory with Jesus. Isn't that right? Then people come back from the land of Canaan over there and they said, oh, it looks bad. Ooh, it looks bad. They had all kinds of expectations. But old Caleb and Joshua come back and said, it looks good. It looks good. They said, we'll never make it. Caleb said, we'll do it every time because God's with us. Isn't that right? God got rid of the rest of them and said, you ain't going to go in because you discouraged the hearts of my people. But said Caleb and Joshua, and I want you to hear this now, said Caleb and Joshua, there was a different spirit. Come on now. Said there was a different spirit. Isn't that right? A different spirit. And God said, you didn't discourage the hearts of my people. You didn't limit the unlimited, but you believed and said you're going to go in with flying colors. You know, we should be aware of spirits. I'm going to say this and try to close. We should be aware of spirits. Spirits are powerful. How many of you know that spirits are powerful? How many of you remember the other night what I said about the stranger leading your daughter off? Was that at men's meeting or was that here? At men's meeting. You know, we should resist spirits, isn't that right? A lot of times your young daughter will puff and pout, run off out there and won't obey you. I mentioned this at men's meeting the other night. Won't obey you, huff and puff, and you don't want to stir up, and you let her go, and you let her drift, and you don't pay attention. Maybe it's your son. Isn't that right? But that's foolishness. You say, what should I do? Resist the devil. Now, I asked the question the other night at men's meeting. Suppose some young man about 19 years old or some man 40 years old come down to your house and your young daughter, 17, 18 years old there, or 13 years old, and he grabbed her by the hand and began to force her and lead her off. Would you just sit back and let him take her? No, you know you wouldn't do it. Why? Because that man's a stranger. But nevertheless, you'll sit back and let a stranger come into your house and lead your daughter off. How do you know that? When a spirit gets a hold of a young girl, that girl is helpless. She thinks like him. She desires like him. And he's leading her off and you're sitting right there not doing a thing about it. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean a stranger? That's what the prophet told David. He said a stranger came by. Isn't that right? He called the spirit a stranger. You wouldn't let a stranger come in your house and do that. The thing to do is put your foot down and say, sissy, you ain't going to do it. I'll take a belt to your hide, or I'll get me a switch over here, and I'll do like Jesus did when he started cleansing the temple. Right. And men, you'll get together and get an agreement here. Right. Sonny boy, you're going to straighten up, or Dad's going to work on your hide. Somebody say amen or oh me. Don't let a stranger do it. Don't get in a rage. Don't let a devil get a hold to you and fly all over the girl and fly all over the child. Because you can be sure if Daddy whips sissy, Mama's going to fly all over him. You just watch it. That stranger's going to get on her too, and she's going to huff and a puff. Unless she's really rooted and grounded. A lot of times if Mama corrects, Daddy's going to huff and a puff. But you get together, both of you get together and realize that your child's life is at stake and her soul is at stake, and do something about it. You understand what I'm saying? All right, said Caleb and Joshua, you got a good spirit. I like it. How have you got a good spirit tonight? Let me see your hand. God should have liked it. What do you like about the Lord? Said, you don't have that old testimony, you know, if I'm a grumbling, I'm a griping, I'm a backbiting, I'm a hurting, I got this, and I got that, and I'm cash down, we can't do nothing, don't know how we're going to make it, we can't pay them bills, there are too many. Whew, I just don't know what we're going to do. Come on now. You ain't got that old greedy, selfish, doggy spirit where you say, got to put a dollar in the bank, put a dollar in the bank, put a dollar in the bank. Got to have another 10, got to have another 10. Bad times is coming. We don't ever know what's going to happen. I tell you what, I can prophesy a little along them lines. He done told me. I know what's going to happen. You're going to die and go to hell. That's your future. Several other things are going to happen to you before that time. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, what kind of spirit have they got? He said, Joshua, Caleb, I like your spirit. Hallelujah. When you testify victory. You testify the greatness of God. You testify strength and victory. Hallelujah. Encourage the hearts of my people. You don't limit me, Joshua. You don't limit me, Caleb. But you got these people believing they can really go over Jordan. That's all it takes is an expectation. Not a juniper tree. You love the Lord? All right. So that's what we want at Bethlehem, a good spirit. When you come to church, folks, come with a good spirit. Come with a drive. Come with a get up and go. As a matter of fact, tomorrow's a get up and go day. Saturday. Come on over and help me some. Don't forget now, I'm going to close, but don't you forget. Now, you promised me in the presence of God that you would ask at least one family every week for 4 weeks, four different families. Really talk with them about coming to Little Bethlehem. And that you would tell the others to do the same. I want you to stand with me. I've told a number of people it's happened exactly that way. I've watched the people I told. They said, well, I'm laying up something in case I have to go to the hospital. I said, well, you go. Isn't that right? Somebody said, I'm going to be prepared. I said, well, that's good because you're going to need to be prepared because you're going. Amen. If you're expecting to go to the hospital, you better get prepared because you're going to go. He said, well, I ain't expecting to, but I'm laying up for it. How could you lay up for it and not expect to? That'd be foolish. Come on now, let's use a little wisdom about it. That's foolish. Is that right? So I'm expecting to live forever. So have you paid down on your casket? Come on now, let's get together. So why I'm buying a casket in case. No, you're buying a casket out of expectation. If you didn't have some inclination about dying, you wouldn't put your money in the casket. I like what Sister Thomas said about it. How many of you know what she said about it? Brother Thomas kept preaching live forever. Sister Thomas said, do you really believe that? He said, yes. She said, well, I'm going to go down there and sell that tomb or whatever you got down there and get the money out of it. So ain't no one just keeping that. She was putting his faith to a test, wasn't she? That's how I feel about it. I'm serious about it now. Praise God. Let's live, folks. Let's live. Some people spend all their life dying. They say, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, I'm going to die. And consequently, they eventually die. And all their life, they lived in expectation of death. Don't do that. Say, hallelujah, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. If you can't believe you're going to live, say, I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. That's the way I believe it. Somebody said, well, I think I'm going to a padded cell. I think I'm going to a padded cell. Well, you'll get there. You're on the right trail. Just keep it up and see if you don't get there. You've got to have the right expectation.